for our reading this evening. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, that's on page 225 in the Pew Bible. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth the man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig tree and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and my might of mine hand and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. We see here a chapter where the Lord is speaking to the children of Israel, and he had just blessed them, and he had given them many things. And we see in this chapter that there are many things that the Lord hath spoken and that the Lord hath done. More importantly, what the Lord hath done. And then also what our response to that is. And what the response of the children of Israel was to what the Lord hath done. The Lord has done great things for his children. For those who would be his own, the Lord has done great things. For the children of Israel, the Lord hath provided for them wondrously. And he had done great things for them. And he would test them, and he would ask them how it is like that they would respond to what the things it is that he has given unto them, and the great blessings that were given to them. And likewise, as a corollary for us as well, the Lord has given unto us great things, and how is it that we receive that which the Lord has given? What is our attitude? What is our disposition with all the good things that the Lord has given unto us? We can see in the children of Israel how it worked out for them. And so we are just being encouraged through this scripture and even throughout the Bible that our response to what the Lord has given unto us should be one where we would gladly do what he would have us to do. With a thankful heart that we would simply be obedient unto the message and to the direction and to his statutes that he has given unto us, that it would not be a burden to us. The Lord here is speaking to the children of Israel, and this is a time when they had come through the wilderness, and they are now ready to cross the Jordan River and come into the promised land. And he speaks unto them, and he's saying, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." So the Lord's part was, he brought them all the way to this land of promise that he was given them. And it was a promise that he had given unto them even from the time of their forefathers. And the Lord delivered on his promise. What he swore would happen, happened. The Lord, he swore unto their fathers. And their part was that they would keep the commandments which he had commanded them and observe them and do them. And when they would observe and do the commandments that the Lord would give them, they would live and they would multiply. They would be blessed. The Lord was doing his part, and he's telling the children of Israel, and you do your part. You keep my commandments, which I have given unto you, and you will live, and you will multiply. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep my commandments or no. The Lord was proving them. He was proving them those 40 years as they were in the wilderness, and he was humbling them, that they wouldn't just receive everything as soon as they escaped out of Egypt, but he was humbling them, and he was proving them. What was in their heart? What was in their heart? Were they going to keep his commandments or not? What was their response to the blessings that God had given them? And that's the question we need to ask ourselves. What is our response to the blessings which God has given unto us? Are we going to keep his ways or not? He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. God humbled them. He humbled them, that they would rely solely and completely on the Lord, that they would recognize their help comes from the Lord. They escaped out of Egypt. Everything went well. They crossed that Red Sea, but now they're on their own. And of their own selves, they couldn't manage through the wilderness. And so he humbled them and suffered and allowed them to be hungry. And knowing that when they get to that promised land, he's going to provide for them something great. And so it wasn't the manna that they should be focused on, but that he was going to be giving them something great in this promised land that they were making their way to. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Those are the things that God did. God did these things for the children of Israel. Thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. We are to consider these things. We are to remember these things. The children of Israel were given this command that they would contemplate on these things, meditate upon these, consider these things. God chastened them, just as a dad would like to chasten his child. God was chastening them, humbling them, proving them. Do you love me? Will you keep my commandments? Do you recognize that your help comes from me?" He was proving them, and he had to chasten them. And we are to remember these things and to contemplate these things. "Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him." This is our response to what the Lord has done for us. The Lord proves us, the Lord tests us, but he also blesses us abundantly. And so our response to that then, that we would keep his commandments and we would walk in his ways and that we would have fear toward him, that we would respect him, that we would honor the Lord and recognize that our help comes from him and from no other source. And then he has here in the next four verses, verses 7 through 10, of how the Lord did his part. And he did it wondrously for the children of Israel as they were made their way through the wilderness. "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land." And here in this chapter, it speaks much about land, that they were going to this promised land. They were going to a land that was far better than the land that they were in, and far, far better than the land that they were transitioning through that wilderness. And so they were going to this land, and he was promising them this land, and God was bringing them to this good land, a land of brooks of water. They didn't have water in the wilderness, of fountains and depths that spring up out of valleys and hills, water that was everywhere, water that was plenteous, coming out of high places in the hills and also in the valleys, a land of wheat and barley and vines and figs trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, plenteousness. The Lord is saying, "I'm bringing you here to this land, but fear me, keep my commandments, walk in my ways, but these are the things I'm doing for you, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness." There's going to be plenteousness of food and provision for them in this land of promise that they are traveling to, and thou shalt not lack any in any of it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. And when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. This is what the Lord is calling us to. He's blessed us richly. He's given unto us much, as it was to the children of Israel here. And then when we get to that point, when we have eaten, or when they have eaten, and when they are full, then they were to bless the Lord their God who gave them this good land. It was God that gave them this good land. And when they were to accept it, and when they were to rejoice in its plenteousness, that they were then to bless the Lord, blessing him and honoring him. Psalm 100. "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." We bless the Lord when we keep his commandments. We bless the Lord when we show him our thankfulness unto him. And so we come into his gates with thanksgiving. We gladly come before him with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, magnifying him, just as the children of Israel should have as they crossed through that wilderness and up to the promised land. Giving praise unto him, being thankful unto him, and blessing his name. This is what the Lord is calling us to keep his commandments, to walk in his ways for the wonderful things that he has done for us. We have been the recipients of his great, great blessings that he has given. And then he gives a warning. He says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest that when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and thy herds and thy flocks be multiplied, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, and then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee up forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." He's saying, be careful. Be careful. All these blessings that I'm giving to you, all these riches, all this wealth, all this abundance, be careful that your heart won't be lifted up. Be careful that you don't then forget God. Be careful that then you wouldn't be drawn away in your own lust or to have pride in your heart. He's saying, be careful here. You were in the house of bondage. I brought you to a good land. I led you through a great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. Just to thinking, they were for 40 years in this dangerous situation all the time, scorpions and serpents, watching where they step all the time, and then there's no water. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good in that latter end. God had something great in mind for the children of Israel. He took them through this land of wilderness. Yes, there was scarcity there, but he was proving them. Will you rely upon me when you're going through the wilderness? But he wanted to do them good at their latter end. And so when they get to this promised land, they might say within their heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. That's the wrong response to the blessings of the Lord. That's the wrong response to what God has given unto us. For it is God that gave us power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant where he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. God did all these things. And so this is what we need to remember likewise, that God has done all these great, great things for us as well. God has given unto us an abundant life, far more than what the children of Israel received, we have received in our lifetime. We have to acknowledge that. The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt for hundreds of years. And God was testing them. Will you love me? Will you keep my commandments? I am drawing you out of that land of bondage, and I'm going to give you the promised land, a land that has all this fruit and an abundance of bread, and where you can get brass and iron. He's telling them that he's going to bless them. But I would say that we have been given so much more than what the children of Israel received here in this time. Jesus Christ has come here upon this earth to give us life, and that more abundantly. That's what God did for us. He gave unto us his only begotten Son, that we might have life, and that more abundantly. Far more abundantly than what the children of Israel experienced when they crossed the Jordan River. God gave unto us of his abundant mercy, that we might have a lively hope. God gave unto us of his abundant grace, day by day. The Bible says that he who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? God gave unto us his Son, and let him die there upon a cross, that he might shed his blood, and that we, as we would believe in him, that we might receive the forgiveness of sins. And if God did that for us, how much more will he give unto us all things, freely give us all things? God will do these things for us. He has blessed us as a people in this time far more than what the children of Israel received. For us, we look at verse number 8, and we see that the land of Israel was a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. And we think to ourselves, well, where's the rest of it? Our grocery stores, that's not even one aisle. And we got a whole grocery store of food. We have things that that whatever we want, we can purchase in this land. We have it far, far more abundant in a physical terms than what the children of Israel had. What's our response to it? God's saying, Are you going to keep my commandments or no after I give you all these things? What's our response? What's our response? Will we be obedient unto God? Will we be thankful with what God has given unto us? God has given unto us great things, spiritually, physically, and it's what's our attitude in response to what God has given unto us? For one, it should be, as we have prayed together, that we should have an abundance of humility, an abundance of humility for what God has given unto us. He has given unto us great, great things. We have no needs. He's given it to all things to us, physically, spiritually. So we have to have an abundance of humility in our hearts for what God has given unto us. And then we show that we are thankful for what God has given unto us by obedience unto his word, that we keep his commandments that he has given unto us, just as the children of Israel were instructed to give to keep the commandments that were given unto them. His commandments are not grievous. And we show our thankfulness. We show our thankfulness unto the Lord by being obedient unto him. God has given unto us much. He has given unto us his Son, our Lord and our Savior. He has given unto us a wonderful plan of salvation. He has given unto us of his love. He has given unto us of his mercy. He has given unto us of his grace. He has given unto us of his protection. He has given unto us of his peace. He has given unto us so many things. A promise that no man is going to be able to pluck us out of the Father's hand. God has given unto us all things and given unto us richly. He says, prove me if I just won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so much so that you won't be able to contain it. God has blessed us richly. What's our response to it? Is it humility? Is it thankfulness? Are we thankful for what God has given unto us in everything? In everything? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 14 says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus will raise us up also by Jesus Christ and shall present us with you. The power, the great power that raised up our Lord and Savior from the dead, has resurrected him, will also work in us, shall raise us up also by Jesus Christ. For all things are for your sakes. God was doing all these things for the sake of Israel. He was doing it for them. He was blessing them. And these things are all for our sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound unto the glory of God. This abundant grace that we have received, our response and our attitude toward it is thanksgiving. It's praising the Lord for what he has given unto us, that we through the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound unto the glory of God. The glory is given unto God when we give him our heart's thanksgiving for the abundant grace that he has given unto us. We have been given much. And I'm sure that none of us would argue that point, that unto us much has been given. But our response to that would be a response of one of humility and also thankfulness unto him for what he has given unto us. The Apostle Paul said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. The children of Israel were experiencing this. In the wilderness, they suffered need. But in the land of promise, they had bounty. But we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. The Bible says that, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him." Jesus Christ was given unto us that our sins might be forgiven. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, meaning we're not moved from Jesus Christ. Storms of life may come, they don't move us. Bountiful blessings, rich, rich blessings, far more than the children of Israel ever imagined. Those could be given unto us, but since we're rooted and built up in him, those riches don't move us. We're still going to keep the commandments of the Lord. And we're established in the faith as we have been taught. And then it says, and abounding therein with thanksgiving. God has given unto us so much. So much. Far more than what we deserve. Far more than what we need. Our response to that is that we would be abounding therein with thanksgiving for all the things that our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ has given unto us. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, a familiar verse saying, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There is no chapter in the New Testament that could be pointed to and say, this is a chapter of giving of thanks unto the Lord. But it's woven throughout the whole New Testament. That we ought to show our thankfulness by obedience unto his word. And so he says, in everything give thanks. And that's what the children of Israel were being proved to. Were they going to be giving thanks through the wilderness that they were traveling in when there was scarcity, when there was danger all around, scorpions and serpents and a lack of water? Were they giving thanks then? As well as when they crossed the Jordan River into the promised land? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. This is God's will for us. That our attitude to what God has given unto us would not be one of rebellion. Not to think that my hand has gotten me this wealth and I've done all these great things. But one of humility. The Lord has blessed me. I have done nothing great of myself that I deserve these things. And then that we would show our thankfulness by obedience unto his word, that we would keep his word, that we would love his word, and that it would be precious to us. These children of Israel were being cautioned that they would not say in their hearts, whether it would be audibly or even through action, in no way that they should show in any way that they would say in their heart that my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. That should not be in their lips. And much less should it be in our lips. That we would think of ourselves that our power and our might has gotten us this wealth. It hasn't. It hasn't. God has given it all unto us. And we are humbled by what God has given unto us. Who are we that God would shower these great, great blessings that we have upon us? And that we would, again, show our thankfulness by obedience unto his word. We read last Sunday that charity vaunteth not itself. And that's what these children of Israel were being warned not to do. That my power and my might hath gotten me this wealth. Charity doesn't vaunt itself. Charity doesn't boast. Charity doesn't brag. Charity is not puffed up. Charity seeketh not her own. And so we are not to seek our own, but we are to be thankful for what God has given unto us. We are to bless his name. We are to enter into his courts with thanksgiving. We are to praise him, and we are to keep his commandments. Again, his commandments aren't grievous. His commandments aren't difficult. They're not burdensome. They're life-giving. They're for our benefit. God didn't place commandments on us and see, well, I put them in a difficult situation, and let's see if they're going to keep it. That's not what God did. God gave unto us his commandments that we might have life, that we might be in his presence throughout eternity, that we might have this abundant hope of abundant great mercy that brings us to a lively hope. That we would have this hope that we have a place reserved in heaven for us. It's there. Jesus has gone on to prepare this mansions for us. We have been given much. We have been given truly much. And we have to give God the glory that is due unto him and praise his name and laud him and give him thanks. Amen.
We learn in the scripture that a man's life consists not in the things which he possesses. And in the time of wandering and in the time of plenty, what God was looking for, what was in man's heart. And he can use the hard times and he can use the good times as a test for faith, as a way to show what's in our heart. And that is the value of our life. That's where our true value and precious treasure resides. So we have an opportunity and we have a calling to demonstrate Christ-likeness in the way that we handle struggles, in the way that we handle blessings. He gave us a wonderful example. One that's very different from the spirit of this age. Spirit of this age says, go out and get all the things that you don't have. But Jesus Christ was thankful and content with the will of his Father. We read in the New Testament again in Hebrews chapter 13. How that plays out in our life. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. The blessing of Christ within us. This is our treasure. This is our joy. Let's nurture it. Let's demonstrate it. Let's be found faithful in whatever test the Lord may have for us in our day and age. May God bless his word. Amen.